Good morning. We have an evacuation drill, but we had a little exercise during the first worship service, and we will do the same exercise at the end of the second worship service as well. So let's learn from the Bible this morning. Please open your Bible. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. When I meditated on the words, you are darkness before, but now you are light in the Lord, I was reminded of the beauty of the light that came through the curtains and through the gaps between them to illuminate the room when I got out of bed at my homestay after the night when I first believed in the Lord Jesus. At that time, I was a junior in college. I remember the beauty of the light of the day. The room, the bed, the outside world, and the sunlight were all the same as they had been 2 days before. But after I believed in Jesus, the scene that came into my eyes looked completely different. I wondered if the light is this beautiful. I wondered if the sky is this blue, wide, and beautiful. The world looks so different before and after believing in Jesus. Until then, no matter how much sunlight I saw, I did not recognize it as beautiful. I didn't even realize, no matter what I did, there was something like a misty cloud hanging in front of me. When I saw the dense greenery woven by the trees, instead of seeing beauty, I thought eeriness. It was ghostly. But I was instantly enlightened when I saw the morning light at dawn on the day I believed in Jesus. I can still recall the experience of having my eyes opened when I believed in Jesus. The fog in front of my eyes cleared up and the light shined through. As we learned last week, Jesus Christ, who is the very Word of God, illuminated my dark body, my dark spirit, and my dark life. And I became a person who knows the true light. So, I used to be darkness, but now I became the light in the Lord. And that is what happened to me. I was truly made to believe in Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit and experienced being born again. I thought to myself, oh, this is not a religion that can be put into a silly framework created by people. Christianity is not a religion, not a choice, but a fact that everyone must know because they are born as a human being, a duty that must be realized, an absolute necessity, a foundation, a core of a person to be a person. The root cause of all the problems and struggles people have is that they are wandering in the darkness without knowing the true light of God. Since then, for me, sharing Jesus with other people has become less about being embarrassed or wondering what other people may think of me, but more about being natural, being myself. Similar to saying, good food tastes good, fun things are fun, and interesting things are interesting. Whether at school, at my part-time job, at my place of employment, among friends, you can say not knowing Jesus is the root cause of your troubles, your pain, your anger, your cynicism, your loneliness, and your fear. So if you don't believe in Jesus, you are in big trouble. The only thing we can do is to show the fact that we are not doing anything fishy to get people to join some religion, but just to speak a fact that live in that light. The problem is that it is a sad and lonely struggle in our walk on earth to present facts that are not accepted as facts. In today's scripture, Ephesians chapter verse 8, the Apostle Paul says, "In the past you were darkness, and indeed, not knowing Jesus Christ, the light is darkness, and we as human beings are darkness." Let us read a passage from Romans chapter 1, verses 22 through chapter 2, verse 1. Romans chapter 1, verses 22 through chapter 2, verse 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 22. "Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. You, therefore, have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things." We are without excuse. We are human beings without excuse in that we ourselves are darkness. We refuse to value the knowledge of God and continue to do what we should not do in our worthless thoughts. The fact that we think we are better than other people, that we want to look down on them, judge them, and assign superiority or inferiority to them, is proof that we are darkness. The trouble with the darkness is that no matter how far you go, no matter how long you stay in darkness, you'll never realize that you are darkness. Even when darkness enters into darkness, even when darkness surrounds darkness, they're both darkness. And darkness itself cannot realize that it is darkness, because by adding darkness to darkness or multiplying darkness with darkness, darkness itself cannot realize that it is darkness. So when can we realize the darkness is darkness? Only when the light shines on it. When the light shines, then, only then does it realize that it is darkness. Then God directly revealed to us the only one who is the light is Jesus Christ. In the presence of that light, nothing can maintain or nothing can remain covered. Nothing that is hidden can remain unknown. And Jesus Christ is that light that God said, "Let there be light," which is in the root and beginning of all things. The Bible consistently speaks of the same thing. The only thing this world needs right now is to be illuminated by the light of Jesus Christ. The contrast between light and darkness, the ultimate contrast that can never be mixed or coexist, is spoken of in the Bible from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation. It tells us that the light is God and darkness belongs to Satan, evil spirits, and other spirits that seek to oppose all the works of God. The book of Revelation tells us that the earth rotates around the sun 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, creating day, the symbol of light, and night, the symbol of darkness, so that God can make known to us, human beings, the existence of the demonic spirits of darkness against Jesus Christ, the God of light. The night is the symbol of darkness. Of course, we're not taught that in public school. So God created the world in that way, for a purpose. That is why bad things always take place in all kinds of darkness, including the darkness within us. And we instinctively feel fearful in the presence of darkness. The problem with the darkness is that it disguises itself as light and deceives people who were originally created in the image of God. And those who are deceived come to love darkness rather than true light. As we will see later in a few minutes, in John chapter 3, verse 19, we have fallen into the state in which people love darkness rather than light, which is the fundamental problem for us human beings. As I said earlier, darkness cannot realize that it is darkness. In order for darkness to realize that it is darkness, it needs light. It is Jesus Christ who came to earth as that light. However, people have become darkness, so deep and profound that even if they see this light, they do not notice it. Even if they see it, they do not see it. Even if they touch it, they feel nothing. We somehow find coolness in the darkness. We have authority in the darkness. We find enjoyment in the darkness. We pretend to be able to see in the darkness. We declare our freedom in the darkness. We create things like value in the darkness. We learn pride in the darkness. And we wonder in the darkness. How dark is it? The demons who are at the root of darkness, when they see Jesus, come running and worship him by saying, "Jesus, Son of God, what have I to do with you? I beg you, don't torture me." Even the demons recognize who Jesus is and plead with him, and even invoking the name of God, in spite of their demonic nature, But the humans who are darkness do not think anything of Jesus, but rather try to use him when they feel he is worth using. And if they feel he's not worth using according to their own measure of darkness, they try to kill him. And in fact, they kill Jesus. They try to do everything with their own darkness, smothering the one who is light. Although they were not successful. So, darkness is misleads us. In the Gospel of John, chapter 3, a man named Nicodemus, who had a high social status, and he was well-educated, and he came to Jesus and said, said the following, "I'm a man who has lived an admirable life. I understand you're a man of honor. Even from my point of view, I think I have acquired what you would call admirable in my own way. But what do I need to do, and what do I need to do more to add to become even more admirable?" This is what Nicodemus said to Jesus. This story of Nicodemus describes a scene in which he, as if unaware that he is in the darkness, speaks to Jesus, trying to measure himself based on the world's values. And he came to Jesus at night, night which symbolizes darkness. And he was probably worried about being seen by others. To such Nicodemus, Jesus looked at him warmly and said, "Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless one is born again by the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Everyone who believes in Jesus will have eternal life and will know the light and will come to the light. You will come to realize that you have hated the light and loved darkness." So Jesus is basically saying, quit hating the light, quit loving the darkness, and believe in me, the light, instead of trying to add something to what you are. So you need to be born again. That's what Jesus said to Nicodemus. Let's look at John chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. Book of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. "Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a leader who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him.' Jesus replied, 'Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again.' 'How can someone be born when they are old?' Nicodemus asked. 'Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born.' Jesus answered, 'Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit.' 'How can this be?' Nicodemus asked. 'You are Israel's teacher,' said Jesus. Do you not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, but you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. So, Nicodemus asked Jesus, "What can I add that will make me a better and more worthy person?" But Jesus answered, "Darkness is darkness. Even if you add to it, you as a sinner will still love darkness. The only way you can change is not by adding to it, but believing in me, Christ." That's what Jesus said. Being born again by the Holy Spirit. Unless you believe in Christ and are born again by the Holy Spirit, you'll never quit loving darkness. You'll never quit hating the light, and you'll always remain trapped in the valleys of darkness. And you'll eventually reach eternal destruction in eternal darkness. Believe in me, Jesus said, who has come into the world, the living and the true life that is before your eyes. That's what Jesus said. If a person believes in the Lord Jesus, as he said, he or she will become light. Fortunately, whatever his initial motives and thoughts, we see Nicodemus eventually becomes transformed into a believer in the Lord Jesus. According to one account, Nicodemus was vilified for becoming a believer in Jesus and rejoicing that he was made worthy of being humiliated for the sake of Jesus. Nicodemus was martyred, dwelling in the light and hoping for the kingdom of heaven, the new heaven and the new earth. Paul said, "You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." So, we who were darkness can become light when we believe in Jesus. And this is not the end of the story either. If we look at, chapter 5, verse 8 in Ephesians, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." We are supposed to walk as children of light. Once we become light, we are naturally given the mission to walk as light. That is exactly why we must live on this earth, rather than being lifted up to the kingdom of heaven immediately after becoming Christians. Apostle Paul also seems to have been troubled about this. In 1 Corinthians, we read, he wondered, "Since God is light himself, instead of using people as light, why doesn't he just shine his light on people at once and show them that he is God? But God loves us so much that he decided to take what seemed to us to be a slow method, that is, by working with us, together with us. God wants us to be connected to each other through our lives as children of light, with Christ as our head, God wants us to know through our life as children of light. And Jesus died for our sins. And God believes, even if we are darkness, we are valuable. So He did not want us to die into eternal darkness. That's why God wanted to save us. Now, let us read the first book of John. The first John, chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word is not in us. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Then let's look at chapter 2, verse 8. Anyone who claims to be the light but hates a brother or sister is still in darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister live in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going, because the darkness has blinded them. John, the youngest of the 12 disciples who wrote the Gospel of John, the Epistles of John, and the Book of Revelation, received a revelation to realize that God is light. John speaks thoroughly of God, that the Christ is the light, and all that is contrary to that is darkness. He then divides the nature of that darkness into two main categories. The first is a refusal to admit that one is a sinner in every category of sin, as we have just seen in the book of Romans. Again, the first is a refusal to admit that one is a sinner in every category of sin. The second is hatred. People compare themselves with others, always thinking and talking about one's own righteousness, insisting on the wrongs of others, and trying to maintain their own superiority by judging others. In other words, to be a child of light, to walk as a child of light, is to constantly admit that we are sinners. And that's what we're supposed to do. We must live remembering that we ourselves are still living in darkness, that the sin of wanting to hide in darkness lives within us. Jesus said, "Love your enemies." Apostle Paul was the one who bore the grace of this word more than anyone else. Paul was truly passionate about living as an enemy of Christians and risked his life to seize and kill them. Who would have thought such a man, who was the greatest enemy of Christians, would become a Christian, an apostle, and an evangelist after Jesus spoke directly to him in a vision saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" So the greatest enemy became a friend. What God does is timely and beautiful. There is a time to kill, there is a time to heal, there is a time to weep, there is a time to laugh, there is a reason to mourn, a season to leap. Everything God does is timely and beautiful. But man cannot discern from the beginning to the end of the works that God does. Through Paul's conversion, the members of the early church experience the true words. God prepared for us a time when hatred will end, when fighting will end, when hurting, breaking, and tearing will end. Then likewise, everything God does is timely and beautiful. People cannot discern the beginning of God's work from its beginning to its end. We must first search our own darkness. While expecting, waiting, and believing in the time God has set in store for us, we must first admit that we are sinners and confess that it has become normal for us to hate our brothers and sisters and shouting out our own righteousness without realizing that we are walking in darkness. Once a person who is now living a faithful life in another church came to me out of the blue and said, "Pastor Hong, I am sorry. I am so sorry for criticizing you and criticizing the church at that time." That was a surprising experience. To be honest, I was filled with hatred toward that person, and I had been praying about it for a long time. So I felt sorry that he said that to me, and I felt sorry and I eventually became thankful to God. I realized once again that we human beings, even though we believe in Jesus Christ and are made to be light, we always still have the fear of choosing darkness and walking in darkness without realizing it. So, let us walk together as children of light, examining ourselves before the Word of God and away from the spirits of the world that try to deceive us with empty words. Because today's passage says, "Live as children of light." Let me pray.